God is good and God is great. Praise God for that. And today what we want to do during this last Sunday of 2014 is celebrate God's faithfulness. You know, this year has been our 40th anniversary, and we've celebrated it different ways throughout the year. And kind of culminated September 14th when Pastor Gene came and we had a time together, and we had a church picnic and just a great time together. But, you know, as we conclude this last Sunday of the month and looking forward to 2015, we want to celebrate God's faithfulness. We want to look back at some of the things that God's done. We also want to look forward to what God has for us, celebrating God's faithfulness. God's faithful. And as I do this morning, I want you to reflect on where you are. If you look back on the last year, how have you progressed spiritually? How have you moved forward with Christ? Or have you? Maybe you've gone the other direction. Maybe you've moved backwards. And maybe God's calling you this morning to celebrate His faithfulness and look to Him in a renewed way. So let's not only review, but renew our hearts before the Lord as we reflect and celebrate on God's faithfulness. There's a verse in Lamentations I want us to look at. Lamentations is a little book in the Old Testament. It's appropriate that it was written by the weeping prophet Jeremiah. Because right after Jeremiah, here comes Lamentations. And Lamentations has the idea of a lament. He's weeping, he's sorrowful because of what's going on. Because of Israel turning their back upon God, and Judah now is turned away from God. And so Jeremiah writes this in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Let's read it together. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. It's because of God's great love that we are not consumed. His compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. God renews us morning by morning, day by day. Great is Your faithfulness. That word faithfulness has the idea of steadfastness. The idea of being trustworthy, totally dependable. You can totally lean upon God. He's never going to fail you. He's faithful. God is faithful. One of the names for Christ, when He comes down out of heaven on a white horse, what kind of horse can ride out of heaven? I think it's a different kind of horse, don't you? Anyway, He's coming down on this white horse out of heaven. Heaven is open, and here's Christ coming down on this white horse in Revelation 19:11. And it says, His name is faithful and true. His name is faithful and true. Great is Your faithfulness. Revelation, or Psalm 119 and verse 86 talks about God's word being trustworthy or faithful. It's totally dependable. There's no error in it. You can totally lean upon God's word. It'll not only feed your souls, but it'll motivate you to become what God wants you to become. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. He says that if we died with Christ, we will live with Him. If we suffer, we'll also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He'll deny us. But it says, if we are unfaithful, He still remains faithful because He will not deny Himself. Sometimes we are unfaithful, but God remains faithful. We celebrate His faithfulness. We see His faithfulness even in our sin. It says, God is faithful in our sins. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Did you see that word? If we confess our sins as believers, we acknowledge our sin, we agree with God about our sin. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is a faithful God. Great is Your faithfulness. He who called you is faithful. He'll also perform it, we're told in 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The God who called you to do a certain task will also perform it through you because God is faithful. God is faithful. In Hebrews chapter 2, it talks about Christ becoming flesh and blood. It says He did not take upon Himself the nature of an angel in verse 14, but He took upon Himself the nature of man, Abraham, flesh and blood, so that through death He might destroy him that had the power of death, that is Satan, the devil, and deliver us through fear of death, where all of our lifetimes subject to bondage. Are you afraid to die? There's one sense where death is the last enemy. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians that death belongs to us. We don't belong to death. Death belongs to us. And so does Paul and Peter and Apollos and Christ. Death belongs to us. So to deliver us through fear of death, through all of their lifetime subject to bondage. And then it goes on to say in verse 17 that Christ became like us, human, flesh and blood, so that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Aren't you glad? that right now, seated at God's right hand, the Father's right hand in heaven, is the faithful and merciful high priest. That's God. And when you're tested or tried, it says in verse 18 of Hebrews 2, it says he runs to our aid because he was tempted like we are. He suffered being tempted. We suffer going through trials. In the midst of those trials, it says he runs to our aid. Aren't you glad? I don't know what trial you're going through or what test, but God's running to your aid because we have in heaven a faithful and merciful high priest. He says the same thing in Hebrews chapter 4. That Christ became flesh and blood. He was tempted in all points like as we are, and yet without sin. So now, as a result, we can now approach the throne of grace boldly to find grace to help in time of need because we have a faithful high priest. You can approach God's throne. You know, God's throne for a believer is not a throne of judgment. It's a throne of grace. Do you need grace? You need grace, believe me. You need grace. We need grace. So we approach the throne of grace boldly to find grace to help in time of need. I have needs like you do. Grace to help in time of need. Great is your faithfulness. God is a faithful God. And so in the midst of our trials, we're told in 1 Corinthians 10:13, you ought to write it down and just memorize it. 1 Corinthians 10:13, it talks about going through trials. There's no temptation or trial taking you, but such as is common to man. You know, all men, all women, all young people have the same trials. We all have the same trials. There's no trial or temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Great is your faithfulness. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able. God doesn't bring trials or tests into our life to destroy us or to dominate us or to discourage us. God brings trials into our life to grow us, to make us like Christ. Hebrews 5:8 says, if Christ learned obedience by the things that he suffered, so will we. There is no trial taking you. I don't know what kind of trial you're going through right now. I don't know what kind of tests God does. In fact, God's ordained them for our lives. It's through suffering that we enter the kingdom of God. There is no trial taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. God will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you might be able to bear it. God brings trials to grow us, to strengthen us, to make us like Christ, to depend upon him, to yield to him. Great is your faithfulness. God's faithful. You know, as we look back over the last 40 years, we've had three senior pastors. And we're going to look at a slide. You'll see them. You'll see them on these. You know what I noticed as I look at this slide? They get shorter. You won't believe this. I used to be 6'6". But after 45 years of ministry, I'm only 5'10". I mean, I tell you, it starts taking it out on you. You get shorter. I don't know what Gene's going to say about that, but that's up to him. Now, they not only get shorter, they get chunkier. Derek, I can't wait to see you in 20 years. They get chunkier. And not only that, notice they get hairier. Man, I can't wait for 10 more years. I'm going to have a lot of hair. Hey, don't laugh. God doesn't put marble tops on cheap furniture, you know. God's good. You know, Sunrise has had three senior pastors. Gene came in 1974, and God led him here to start this church. I think in later 73, and in 74, the church started off. And now 40 years later, here's what's happened. He was here about 21 years. I'm in my 19th year here. And now in the last year and a half, God's called Derek to become our senior pastor. So maybe 20 years later, I can't wait, if Christ doesn't come back, to look at what our 60th anniversary is going to be like. Derek's going to be shorter. And he's going to be chunkier. Unless he has some transplants, I don't think he's going to get more hair. But why does God give pastors? He gives pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, for their ministry. God gives us to the body of Christ, not only so that we can minister, but to equip people for their ministry, to help them recognize their gifts and to grow in Christ so they can use the gifts God's given them for His glory. It's for their works of service. It's not so the pastors do all the ministry. If we're doing our job well, we're training others and equipping others to do the ministry that God's called you to do. We are His workmanship. In fact, two chapters before this, in verse 10, Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God before ordained, planned before that we should walk in them. God ordained Sunrise Community Church in eternity past. He knew that in 1974 this church would begin. And now in 2014, here's where we would be. God knew that. And He's raised up pastors and teachers to equip His people for their works of service so that the body of Christ might be built up. And so that we come into the measure of the full stature of Christ, that we become not only unified but mature, becoming all that God wants us to be. A year and a half ago when we called Derek, one of the reasons God led us to Derek was to help us relook at our vision. We need to become more missional. Look at our vision and our mission and our focus. So our vision is, let's read our vision together. Follow Christ to become, belong, and bless. Follow Christ to become. To become what God wants us to be, that's upward. To belong, that's inward, where we meet one another's needs, encourage and bless one another. And then where we bless others, that's outward. We look at our community and our world and we use the gifts God given us to make an impact on our schools, our neighborhoods, our workplaces, and the world. Let's read our mission together. Sending and forming people to love Jesus Christ. You know, God has sent each of us. You're in a world I will never be in. You have people around you that I will never probably be around. And you're there for a purpose. God wants you to fulfill that purpose right there with your family, in your neighborhood, in your workplace, in your world. Then as we look at our focus, it's to engage, attract, serve, convert, disciple, train, and send into ministry dads and moms ages 25 to 45 with children 0 to 25 living within 5 miles of Sunrise. Somebody said, well, wait, what about us? I'm in my mid-60s. You want to know what I weigh? Thank you. I'm thankful for that focus statement. You know why? We love all generations. We love all ages, whether they're in their 90s or whether they're just 9 days old. But if we do not reach my children and my children's children, this church will not exist in 15 years. Do you understand that? In fact, I know what's true of everybody, and most everybody in my age group. My biggest concerns in loving Christ are my kids and my grandkids. Would most of you say that in your 60s and 70s and 80s? Would you give a resounding amen to that? Amen. You'd all say that. And so it doesn't mean we're ignoring any age group. That's not the point here. But if we don't reach my kids, our kids, and our grandkids, Sunrise will not exist in 20 years. John says, I have no greater joy to hear that my children walk in the truth. So here's elderly John the elder, John perhaps in his 90s, writing in both 2 John and 3 John in verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Nothing brings me greater joy than to see my children loving Christ and learning Christ and walking with Christ. That brings me great joy as a father. And then seeing my grandchildren walk with Christ, that brings me great joy. That brings me great joy. A good focus. Hey, in light of that, God's done a number of things. In the last year and a half, about 60 to 63, 65% of our staff has changed. We'll talk about that more next week as Derek and I will be speaking together on this transition for 2015. But 60% of our staff has changed. And we knew that 3, 4, 5 years ago. We were talking about it with our elders and our personnel commission and others. We're talking about this change, and now God's bringing it to pass. And what we want to see is take a look in the last year, just some of the staff changes that have taken place in the last year. And let's look at their hearts and look at their focus. One of the ones we want to start with, Rachel Jackson. Rachel actually came on in 2013, but it was at the end of 2013, in November. So it was a year and a month ago, Rachel Jackson came on as an associate worship arts pastor with Pastor Steve. So let's hear it. Rachel's not able to be with us today. In fact, our first three will not be able to be with us today. And so we wanted to just hear Rachel's heartbeat concerning Christ and her ministry.
I'm Rachel Jackson. I'm one of the worship pastors here. And I just want to talk a little bit about what's been going on in the worship ministry with me in the last year, because I came over just a little over a year ago. I guess it's been about 13 months. And the choir has grown tremendously. We're working on really important things like tone and diction, but even more important than that, we're working on heart a lot. I've really worked hard on fostering more of a community feel, and the fact that we are here to support each other and to help each other through thick and thin. So we have times of celebration, we have times of tears, but we're all there for each other. We also have a lot of fun too. I don't believe anything worth doing is worth doing unless it can be fun too. So I have a lot of fun around here. We have fun around the office too. Working hard, but making sure that we're taking that time out to goof off a little too. You can ask anyone. Personally, it's been a great year for me. I've gotten to know so many wonderful people. I'm in a new church body, and I'm home. It's a wonderful thing. My family has really connected here, and looking forward to continuing to grow with Sunrise.
Great job, doesn't she? Thank you. One of the things I appreciate about Rachel is during the holiday season, they broke the choir up into four or five different teams. They went out caroling to different homes, some shut-ins, to meet needs and encourage people. What a great ministry for and using your musical skills and abilities to minister to other people. Lord, I thank you for Rachel. Continue to bless and encourage her. Thank you for her ministry with her choir and her heart for people using their gifts for your glory in worship ministries. Encourage and bless her in Christ's name. Amen. Our next one is Greg Triplett. Greg actually came on staff in September. He'd been working in campus ministries at USC and Sac State for about 11 years in Campus Crusade for Christ. And he and his wife, they have two small children. They're about 18 months, the twins. And God led Greg to Sunrise in September of this year. And we're thankful for Greg. He's already added a great dynamic to our staff. Let's listen from Greg.
Wow, is it the end of 2014 already? I look back on this year and all that God's blessed us with. My girls celebrated their first birthday. My wife and I celebrated our fourth anniversary. And then you guys welcomed me here as your new adult ministries pastor. Man, I can't say thank you enough for how you have blessed me and my family in this transition and how you've encouraged me as I step into this new role that God's called me to. You know, as I think back upon this year and the 4 months that I've shared here at Sunrise, probably the thing that stands out that I am most grateful for is men and women in this church that are willing to be used by God. Back in October, we held an appreciation dinner for the 190 men and women that serve in adult ministries. Did you catch that? 190 of you that are giving your time and your energy. Why? Because you want to see Sunrise become a place where people become like Jesus, belong to one another in community, and bless the world around them. You know, what I'm most thankful for in 2014 is people like you that are willing to be used by Jesus. It makes me excited for 2015. God's got wonderful things in store as he continues to unite us together and lead us toward the vision he's called us to. I look forward to sharing it with you. We'll see you in the new year.
Greg, hey, amen. God bless you. Greg's been a great addition to our staff. He challenges each of us. He has a tremendous heart for ministry. And he's concerned about equipping people and causing them to use the gifts that God's called them to use in ministry, or not just at Sunrise, but throughout our community and throughout the world. Third, I'd like to hear from Jen Cole. Jen and James have been in church here for about 15 years. Literally, I married them 15 years ago. They were from the Midwest, from Cincinnati, Ohio area. And James made this comment to me, her husband, said, as we were looking in relation to women's ministry and some of our changes going on, he says, I believe God's called my wife this ministry and has been training her all along for this. Jen has a great heart for women and a great heart for Christ. And it's neat to see God develop and raise up people within our own church at times to come on staff to equip women or to equip others for the ministry that Christ has called them to do. Let's hear from Jen's heart.
Hi, my name is Jen Cole, and it is my honor and privilege to serve the women of Sunrise and just love on them in my role as the women's ministry assistant. Honestly, I pinch myself every morning that I get to wake up and come here and serve, most importantly, the Lord Jesus Christ and this church that I love and have attended for so many years, and to be able to give back in this way and just to really love on and grow with the women here at Sunrise. I love every second of what I do here, and it's just so exciting to see women just reach their potential and to see just the beautiful women that they are in Jesus Christ. I began working here in August of this year, and just some fun things to think about what we've done here in women's ministry in 2014 is our mother-daughter girlfriend tea, which is always just such a fun time to connect with moms and daughters and grandmas. We also brought back the Sunrise Women's Retreat. That was just a wonderful time of women just connecting and having a weekend just for respite and relaxation and just to connect as friends and women in Christ. One of my highlights, I think, in this position is to see the ministries of MOPS and Moms Next, and just to see women just in the same boat of life, that they're just there together, just kind of talking about their struggles and challenges and just accomplishments as moms. It's so exciting to watch those moms grow and just connect in that way. I have been so encouraged by women just approaching me lately with their heartbeat for Jesus and ministries that the Lord is putting on their heart. And so there's going to be new women's ministries coming because of just the Lord tugging at these women's hearts and them wanting to serve in that way. And I would encourage you to come and see me anytime. I'm in the lobby every Sunday. And come and find me and tell me what the Lord is working on in your life. And I'd love to help you find that potential and make that happen for you. So that is my prayer for the women of Sunrise in this year, is that they just continue to seek and grow in their relationship with Jesus Christ, that through our opportunities that we provide to them, that they could make new friendships and strengthen the ones that they have, and just to realize their potential and the spiritual gifts that God has given them. And I'd love to partner up with you in any way I can to make that a reality. Happy New Year.
I just love Jen. Jen works 15 hours a week, which being interpreted means 40. But during the summer, a lot of those summer months, you won't be here as much and stuff. So we're trying to hopefully average out 15 hours a week. But you know what? Jen does what she's doing because God's called her. Because she's loved it. She loves it. She's using her gifts for God's glory because that's where God's given her compassion. And it's just neat to watch her look at this ministry and watch it expand as she brings in more and more ladies in leadership realms to do other areas of ministry to continually free her up to see women's ministry grow. So she has a great heart, and God's blessed her with very special gifts. Praise God for Jen. Lord, I thank you for Jen and James and their family. Encourage them and continue to grow them. And Lord, I just look forward to what you're going to do in the next year in 2015 in Jen's ministry through women's ministries. In Jesus' name, amen. Next, I'd like to invite Kim Shaw. Kim's actually the newest member of our staff. Kim's been here a whole month and a half about. So tell us all the things you've accomplished in a month and a half, Kim. God bless you. Anyway, why don't you share a little bit about your heart and what God's doing and what you're seeing?
Well, it has been such a blessing for our family to be here. Like Rich said, we've been here a month and a half, so I feel like I'm still spending so much time getting to know people, trying desperately to remember the names of the faces of the people and the children, and just really getting a feel for what ministry is like here at Sunrise. And this was an unexpected opportunity for us and something that God just richly blessed our family. And we are rapidly discovering that this is going to be a great church home for our family. So we're so thankful for that. And for me, as we start this new year thinking about 2015, there are three areas that I'm most excited about. The first one is I'm so excited about the children's ministry team. We have about 75 to 100 people who give their time on a regular basis to teach children's classes, to volunteer, to make crafts, and do all sorts of things that it takes to get ministry going for children, and they're so wonderful. So I'm thankful for them and look forward to getting to know them a little bit better this year and seeing where their gifts and their talents talents are, how we can encourage them to really grow in ministry and in their personal relationship with God. And then second, I'm so excited about the kids. We have such a neat group of children here. They're fantastic. And it is so important to me that they come to church, they're here on Sunday mornings or they're here Wednesday nights or for clubs, and that they have a real opportunity to get to know Jesus Christ in a personal way. It's so important that they understand they get to grow in their faith, that it's a journey for them, and that they understand what it means to follow God. So by the time they get into junior high, they're very excited about what God could possibly be doing in their lives. And for me, one of the really important things about helping kids come to that realization is the idea that when they come to church, it's so much fun. We want them to have so much fun because for them, the vehicle to getting them to listen to the gospel, to the word, to hear what God wants to do in their lives and see his faithfulness is that they want to come and enjoy their time here with us. And then the last thing I'm excited about for 2015 is the idea of partnering with our parents and our families. It's so important that parents know that we're here to come alongside them as they are looking to see how God's going to be working in their children and their families.
You know, one of the things I appreciate about Kim is just seeing her work the first couple of weeks, her job, and as she looked at what she was doing, it wasn't coming to bring on a set plan for our ministry. It was coming to recognize who's here, how are they gifted, how are they geared, how are they made, and then where is God directing us? She's not only asking questions, but getting to know people. And also, it's not just about children, as you just heard her, it's about parents. It's about parents, grandparents. It's about the family holistically. So, Kim, I love you and appreciate your heartbeat. I'm so thankful you're here. Thankful that God led you here. Can I pray for you?
Yes.
Good. Lord, I thank you for Kim. I thank you for Garth and Jared and their family. Thank you for bringing her here this last month and a half. Lord, I thank you for the heartbeat you've given her and the gifts that she's used in other churches, and now you've called her here to Sunrise. And Lord, I would pray that during this next year, as we look at 2015, you would challenge her and direct her, and also challenge our people, especially our adults, and our moms and dads and grandmas and grandpas to get involved in ministry where you've gifted them. And then, Lord, as we look at children's ministry and things that are changing and some things that need to change, just give your wisdom and direction so that we move together as a whole and watch what God is doing to reach our community for Christ. And Lord, I pray for families that aren't here, perhaps have never even heard of Sunrise, that'll be here at the end of next year because of the ministry to our children. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you. I'd like to ask Cliff if he would to come up. A lot of new staff, aren't there? Cliff came in March. All right, Cliff. I think it's on. Cliff's our student ministries pastor, so why don't you share a little bit about what's going on in your life and ministry, Cliff?
We're super excited. We were talking about what we're looking forward to in the next year. I'm looking forward to March 18th. It'll be a year here at Sunrise, and just talk about God's faithfulness and what we have seen in 1 year of ministry here. 2 weeks into being here, we went to Mexico with the youth group. That is baptism by fire. And But the thing that we saw God do through that was to bring a youth group that I think probably the best word to use is splintered, that was splintered, came together. And through that, and through Hume Lake, through going to camp, this group that was a lot of individuals became a family. And that's been the funnest thing to watch. And so it's that whole belong element of the become, belong, and bless. And then now we're just watching God just help us grow closer to Him. We really focus in on this concept of there's this large number of people that walk away from church and walk away from the Lord after high school. And really saying, what does it take to hold on to a lifelong faith and not just one that comes during the easy years? And so we've really been focusing on that and things like that. Yeah.
Well, that's great. I appreciate you, Cliff. I'm so thankful. You know, the way I know things are going well in youth ministry, I hear parents talking about what's going on. I hear students talking about, not just about Cliff, but about Christ. Mm. I hear people being challenged and encouraged. So we really thank God for you.
Thank you.
And appreciate what you're doing. You brought a maturity to our youth ministry and a heartbeat. And we still have some challenges in junior high ministry. We're still looking for that person, a junior high and young adults. I don't want to share anything there.
I feel like one of the things God's teaching us through this is it takes me back to Israel in the time of the kings and where God just said, I want you to be my king. I want to be your king. And that I'm not going to let you have a leader right now. and you need to focus on me. And in that time, we've seen our junior high ministry continue to thrive, and sometimes with a few hiccups along the way. Our young adults ministry is actually growing and starting to meet every other week on Sundays, doing a really cool fellowship time together, and every Thursday night, and probably close to doubled in size in that time. And God's just doing some fun things that really have nothing to do with me at all.
Well, it has something to do with you in but, this sense. Yeah, God, through your prayers, through your encouragement, God's moving, and we're looking forward to seeing what God's doing.
Thank you.
Not only thankful for what he's done in 2014, but looking forward to 2015.
Amen.
Let's thank God for Cliff, okay? Lord, I thank you for Cliff and April and their kids, their family. Lord, I just thank you for leading him to our church. Thank you, Lord, that you know our needs as a church and that this wasn't something that I could have orchestrated or Derek. It's just, as we look at each of these staff members, they each came in different ways, through different means, and yet in such a way to where you brought this staff together as a team. And Lord, there are others we could look at this morning too, but these are representative of what you're doing on our ministry and pastoral staff. And Lord, I just thank you for their heartbeat. I thank you for their love. And I thank you for Cliff's encouragement and maturity and the spirit that he brings to our youth ministries. So, Lord, continue to lead. In 2015, may we look back and say, look at the great things that God has done. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for Cliff. Amen.
Amen.
Good.
Thank you,
brother. Now what? How do we transition? What does this mean for us? How do we fulfill God's mission and vision and celebrate his faithfulness as we look at 2015 if God gives us another year? I want to look at a few scriptures because I think they're foundational for what God wants us to do as we celebrate God's faithfulness. Let's look at those. In John 15, Jesus is speaking. Perhaps he's just passed the vineyard. He talks about, I'm the vine, you're the branches, my Father's the husbandman, the caretaker. And then as he follows through with that, he says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. You know, as we look at the Christian life and as we look at being not successful, God hasn't called us ultimately to be successful. He's called us to be faithful and fruitful. And he says, if we abide in him, we'll bear much fruit. And that could be the fruit of the Spirit. It could be lives. It could take on a number of different forms. But he says, just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Did you realize that Christ loves you? That Christ loves you? And so he says, abide in my love. And then he says this, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. One of John's key words is this word abide. It's the idea of resting and it's the idea of finding your hope and fulfillment in him. It's the idea of being at home in him, in Christ. Abide in my love. How do you abide in his love? If you keep my commandments, you abide in his love. Now notice, it goes from love to obedience to abiding. You see, as we look at the Christian life, so often they're Christians, it almost depends on what your spiritual gift is. If your spiritual gift is teaching, then you think everybody should be a teacher. If it's evangelism, everybody should be evangelist. If it's praying, then everybody should be praying. And if it's missions, everybody should be a missionary. Do you see what I'm saying? If it gets of leadership, everybody should be a leader. To a hammer, everything's a nail. Does that make sense? To a hammer, everything's a nail. But really, God doesn't want us to focus on praying more or evangelizing more or discipling more. Now, we should do that. But the key is right here. Just as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. So he says it starts off with love. Love obeys. In fact, in the chapter before this, in John 14, verse 15, 21, 23, three times it says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Those who love me will obey my word. So he says, love leads to obedience. And obedience leads to abiding. My love, he says, you abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Now notice the fourth component here. It's love, obedience, abiding, and what's the last one? Joy. Let's say them. Love, obedience, abiding, joy. When a person loves God, they obey God. When they obey God, they abide in his love. And when they abide, the natural result is They'll experience God's joy. Jesus says it this way, so that my joy may be in you. Did you recognize what he's saying? It's not your joy, it's my joy. Part of the struggle in the Christian life is we're so caught up with our joy, our happiness. Christ is caught up with his happiness, so that my joy may be in you. I love the way he defines that, don't you? So that my joy may be in you, and as a result, your joy may be made full or complete, fulfilled. We often struggle with joy and happiness in our lives. And the reason we often struggle with joy and happiness is we get all turned around. It's about my joy and my happiness. And Christ says instead, until your joy is my joy, until my joy produces joy within you, you're going to keep struggling because it's going to be about your joy and your happiness and what you want. Love, obedience, abiding, and joy. Let's say it together. Love, obedience, abiding, and joy. And you want to know what happens? Jesus says in that context, when that's occurring in our lives, we are automatically discipling people. We are automatically evangelizing people, witnessing. We're automatically praying. We're automatically giving. We're automatically living out the way God's called us to live. We're automatically doing the things God's called us to do. God's not calling us to pray more, evangelize more, disciple more. He's calling us to love well and to love deeply. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Because when that happens, the character of God begins to take place in our lives, and then we automatically begin to do what God's called us to do. We will pray. We will disciple. We will evangelize. We will give. We will live. We'll move forward in what God's called us to do. Love, obedience, abiding, and joy. Love, obedience, abiding, and joy. So that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be full. Nehemiah says it this way in the Old Testament. Toward the end of the Old Testament, Nehemiah says, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks. Sometimes we think it's wrong for Christians to enjoy good things. You know, God wants you to enjoy your food. Have you ever had food that wasn't enjoyable? I have. I'm not talking about my wife or anything there, or cooking. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. You see, when we have Christ's joy within us, it gives us strength. Aren't you glad? Yes. It gives you a new strength. It gives you courage. It's different because it's coming from Him. It's not you becoming strong. It's His joy within you, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. God gives us strength through joy. Love, obedience, abiding, joy. From that joy comes strength. And then notice where it leads as we look at a couple more verses. Notice where this joy leads. For what is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ when He comes? Is it not you? Do you see what Paul's saying here? Paul had Christ's joy within him, and his joy was made complete or fulfilled or filled to the full. And as a result, he says, when I stand in the presence of Christ, you are our joy. Not only would God be his joy, but you're our joy. You see, when this happens, people become joyful to us. What God's doing in people's lives, what God's doing through our ministries, that creates joy within us. When John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children, what? Walk in the truth. What is our glory? What is our hope, our joy, our crown in which we will glory in the presence of Christ? Is Christ part of that? The answer is yes. When Christ comes, it says, is it not you? Now he says this again. Look at the next verse. He says it again in Philippians. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. You whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown. People not only brought Paul joy, but Paul's joy was in people because he had Christ's joy within him. Sometimes our lives get so turned around, we are often so empty and needy that when people do certain things or quit doing certain things, we're either happy or unhappy, joyful or unjoyful. Because it's based on what they give or don't give, or what they do or don't do, or what they say or don't say. Paul said, wait a second, that's totally human. I've written these things that my joy might be in you and that your joy might be full. He says, your joy should not be dependent upon what someone else does or says or gives to you, or what they don't do or say, or what they don't give. And when our joy comes from Christ, then the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the natural result is, when we stand in the presence of Christ, we all say, you're our joy. Not because I got joy from you, but because I saw how God used me and how Christ worked through me in your life. And as a result, you bring me joy, no matter what you do or say or give. You're our joy, our crown in Christ's presence. Isn't that great? Hey, let me ask you a question. Where are you getting your joy from? Did you take a review of 2014? Was your joy and happiness based on what you got or didn't get? Are you very happy or very sad? Very encouraged or very discouraged because of what didn't happen in 2014? Or because of what you were looking forward to and it didn't occur? Or because of what you wanted and you didn't receive it? Or have you learned that as the Father, Christ loved the Father and the Father loved Christ, so now Christ loves us? And that because of that love being shed abroad in our hearts, we've obeyed God. And as a result of obeying God, we're abiding in His love. And as a result of abiding, now we have joy. And that joy is not from what we get from people. That joy comes from Christ. And now people become our joy because of what we can give to them instead of what we get from them. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Our lives need to drastically change, maybe. And if 2015 is going to be effective, if God gives us another year, it's going to be because we learn to love and learn to obey and learn to abide. And as a result, we receive His joy. Hey, as Cliff comes up and as you text in some questions, I want to ask you a few questions as we look at our last slide. The last slide is just about texting questions. It's about glorifying God. No, let's go back to this one, guys. You're right. Whether you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all for the glory of God. You see, when you find that loving and obeying and abiding in joy, you know what happens? You begin to eat and drink for the glory of God. Do you realize you can eat and drink for God's glory? Isn't it great? You can eat and drink for God's glory. And then as he concludes the book of Jude, he says, now unto him who is able to keep you from stumbling or falling and to present you faultless before his presence, to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God our Savior be glory, majesty, and power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling, able to keep me from falling, and to present us before his presence with exceeding joy, faultless. Now unto him be what? Glory and majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Hey, as with just for the text, if you want to text in a question, I have a couple questions. Cliff, come on up if you want. Someone said the unexamined life is not worth living. As we look at 2014 and look forward into 2015, look backwards 1 year, maybe look backwards 5 years, 10 years. Where you were 10 years ago or 15 years ago and 5 years ago and last year, have you seen progress in your life spiritually? Have you seen your love for God deepen and your growth in your life spiritually become stronger and deeper? Review your life. And if your life proceeds on the same line that it's on, what will the end of 2015 be like if you're still alive and if Christ hasn't come back? Will it be better or worse? Jim Burns, a number of years ago, put out some questions he called the hard questions. There's three of them, and I've added one to it. Do I like the human I'm becoming? You know, if you love, obey, abide, and receive His joy, you will like the human you're becoming. If you don't love, obey, and abide, you will not like the human you're becoming. Hey, let me ask you a question. Do you like the human you're becoming? Do you like the person you're becoming? God wants you to like that, but you'll only like it well if you're becoming like Christ. Secondly, is the work of God I'm doing destroying the work of God in me? Do I keep moving in one direction, but God has actually gifted me and geared me in another direction? Is the work of God I'm doing destroying the work of God in me? What's God doing in me? That's what He wants you to live out. The very thing He's doing in you is what He wants you to live out. Is the work of God I'm doing destroying the work of God in me? Or is it connected with it and a result of it? A third question. Is my family receiving my emotional scraps? Is your family, your husband, your wife, your kids, your grandkids, are they getting your leftovers? Are they getting your emotional scraps? Is my family receiving my emotional scraps? And then a fourth question. Am I enjoying Christ? Am I literally enjoying Christ? Am I enjoying God? The Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He takes great delight in you. You know God delights in you? Zephaniah 3:17. Are you delighting in Him? Are you enjoying God? Tough questions. Look at them. Watch God work. Any questions here, Cliff?
Oh, we have lots this morning. How did Jesus show joy throughout His ministry?
I think He gave us that in John chapter 15 where we just were. He says, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Christ knew the Father loved Him. And He says, you can abide in my love as I abide in the Father's love. What He gave us in John 15 isn't something just for us. He's literally living it out. Why don't you come a little bit closer? You look so far away there.
Good. Well, now you're in focus.
Good. Thank you. You go to John 15. Look at those verses again, 9 through 11. Christ said, even as I abide in the Father's love. So he was literally telling us to do what He was doing. So it wasn't something He was giving for us because He didn't know what it was all about. He knew the Father loved Him. He abode in the Father's love. And as a result, he obeyed the Father. He always obeyed the Father. He says, you obey me as I obeyed the Father. And then the natural result is Christ received the Father's joy. He had joy because of obedience to the Father. What He gave us in John 15 was something He actually experienced, mm-hmm. not just something for us.
Right. This person is asking, just a follow-up to your last four challenges there, what do you mean by emotional scraps?
Sometimes our lives become so hurried and so harried that when we come home, we're just totally spent. We've been maybe bothered and struggling with struggles in our own life. Then we struggle with our ministry, our struggle at work, and struggle with people we work with, struggle with bills and struggle with finances, and just struggle with everything. And the result is, when we're in the presence of our family, we're just totally wasted. You know what I'm talking about? Anybody? I've been there. Anybody ever been there? I've been there at church. Come on, raise your hand if you've been there. That's what I mean by emotional scraps. We have nothing else to give. I can't love my wife well or my children well, my grandkids well, because my life has been so spent, not loving God. My life has been so spent with the pressures of life instead of realizing, wait, why have I been living my life under the circumstances? Is it possible to live my life under Christ or in Christ and above the circumstances? Is it possible to see life on a different plane? If you don't, you're going to be worn out. Man, let me tell you, the average Christian day is they are worn out. Remember how we talked that one slide, I'm getting shorter, I'm getting chunkier, I'm getting tireder? Christian, the average Christian is totally worn out running from one thing to another. If your life is just a series of times and dates and running from this to that, running your kids or your grandkids here to here to here to here, let me tell you, you're going to be wiped out. Unless you find refreshment and relaxation from Christ, you're going to get your emotional scraps. Jesus said this way in Matthew 11:28-30. Come unto me, all you that are weary and what? Heavy laden or burdened, and I will give you rest. We need to learn to rest. That abiding in Christ is rest. There's love and obedience and abiding. That abiding has the idea of rest, being at home in Christ. Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. There's a work. You're yoked up with Christ. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, and you'll find what? Rest for your souls. When you yoke up with Christ, you find rest for your souls. In the midst of your work, there's rest. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Do you hear the words of Jesus? Write them down. Maybe look at Matthew 11:28-30. If you don't yoke up with Jesus, my friend, you're going to be totally worn out and wiped out, have nothing to give. And in the midst of that, we think, where's God in all this stuff? Well, God's been saying, yeah, here's where I am. Are you going to yoke up with me? Or are you going to keep doing your own thing? Yoke up with Jesus, my friend, and watch God work.
All right. Yes, God is faithful, but doesn't the Bible also teach that we need to be faithful to Him and do our part, or He will cut us off like He did to the Israelites?
Well, yeah, we are told to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4:1, it says it's required of a steward that a man be found what? Faithful. Where do we learn faithfulness from? The Father. The Son. We are told to be faithful. And if we're not faithful, if we deny Him, He'll deny us. Sometimes, in fact, not sometimes, we reap what we sow. Our struggle is we're sowing wild oats and we're praying for crop failure. Do you see what's going on here? If you sow wild oats, you're going to reap that. All you can begin to do is begin to sow a different crop, and you'll begin to reap that. So don't worry about what you're reaping right now. What are you sowing today? If you sow righteousness, you'll reap righteousness. If you sow peace, you'll reap peace. If you sow goodness, you'll receive goodness. If you sow Christ, you'll reap Christ. It's imperative that we begin to look at our lives from a different perspective. Read that question again.
Okay. Yes, God is faithful, but doesn't the Bible also teach that we need to be faithful to Him and do our part, or He will cut us off like He did to the Israelites?
Love God with all your heart. As Jesus loved us, so now we love Him. If we love, we'll obey. As we obey, we abide. As we abide and rest in Christ, we receive joy, and we reap the same. Good question.
And I'll answer the person that sent that. That was just a warm-up before that. It's between you and me. This is one of my favorites. How can we keep the heart or the DNA of Sunrise with so many new people on staff?
You know, I think the new people on staff are going to be a tremendous blessing. The heart of Sunrise is going to be enhanced because of new people. You know that? There's a newness that we need that God knew, and there's a freshness that we need to receive. And thank God for people that are coming on staff that think differently within a framework of what we believe. I'm not talking about theologically. I'm talking about we need a new heart and a new image and a new facelift. Just look at us. Now, what I'm getting at is this. Christ does that. We can't make people, we can't give people a new facelift. We can't make the DNA change. But as we bring people on who love Christ and who move with Christ, you know what's going to happen? They're automatically going to begin to minister. They're pastors and teachers who are going to cause us to be equipped the way God's designed us. And as a result, we're going to be doing the ministry God's called us to do. New people are great. In fact, one of the greatest things that could happen to Sunrise, if next year at this time we had 100 new converts here, or 200, or 400, or 500, wouldn't that be great? You want to see DNA change? Yeah, we can clap. You want to see DNA change? Lead someone to Jesus and your DNA will begin to change. Whoa, look what's happening. You want to see the DNA of a church change? Become focused on loving God, obeying God, abiding in Christ, and finding your joy in Christ. The natural result is you're going to begin to change. You're going to begin to be different. We all need to change. The name of the tailor, the spirit of, is the Holy Spirit. He's constantly changing us. He's constantly changing us. Is God changing you? I know some Christians who pride themselves, they've always been this way, world without end, amen, amen. If you've always been the way you've always been, I feel sorry for you. In fact, you're sick. In fact, you're close to dead. Yeah, you heard it right. If God's not changing you, something's drastically wrong. Though our outward man is perishing. Remember those pictures? You get shorter and fatter. Paul says, though my outward man is perishing, my inward man is being what? Renewed. So if you're not being renewed and transformed day by day, something's wrong. Praise God for the new people that's bringing on staff. They're going to help in this renewal that we all need. Praise God. And let me say one thing to that. In and of themselves, they're not going to do it. You can have the greatest people on staff in the world, but if you don't respond to Jesus yourself, if you don't love, obey, and abide, it's not going to happen. There's going to be a number of good people on staff trying to make things happen. Let me say one other thing about our staff. All our new hires, what's neat about them, they all know their weaknesses. And yet that's not what's driving their ministry. Sometimes it's our weaknesses that drive what we do. We have to have something to prove. What I appreciate about each of our new staff people, they're not trying to prove something. They're at peace with who they are in Christ. They know their struggles, but they're moving on. Their edges are not driving them. What's driving them is the Holy Spirit. I praise God for that. Well, a lot of neat things are happening here, and we're just beginning to see, I believe, what God wants to do. Aren't you thankful? Amen.
This person said, nice sweater, Cliff. Thank you, babe. Oh, no, she didn't text that.
Peter texted it.
Let's see, another good one. Is Manny your favorite student? No. Yes, absolutely, Manny. You ought to understand, I have about 8 texts here from high schoolers that are just pretty much hijacking this.
Well, let me ask a question. Is anything significant?
Well, let's see here. This one's from a young adult. It says, how do you see Sunrise growing in the upcoming year?
Actually, if you maybe just revisit this CD and listen to it. This loving, obeying, abiding in joy. You watch that take place, that cycle begin to take place in your heart. You're going to see growth you've never seen before. The problem is we think we've all done that. Now what's the next thing? There's not a next thing. You can't. We can love Christ more, okay? We can obey in a deeper level, and we can abide in a greater level, but it's that same cycle that God reworks in us so that we receive His joy, and as a result, we have something to share and something to give. When you find a Christian that's loving, obeying, abiding, and joyful, you want to know what? They're attractive. They're a great advertisement for Christ, and they have something to give out to others, and as a result, they find their joy in what they give instead of their joy in what they get. And when you find that happening, that's what's changing Sunrise, because that's what God uses to change individual Christians.
Okay, continue to get spammed.
Just a couple more.
All right, here we go. Is that a picture of Pastor Cliff on Pastor Greg's wall?
Did anybody else notice that? How many else noticed behind when Greg was speaking, there was that picture on the wall that was Cliff?
My wife saw it.
Okay, yeah.
Apparently.
I think there was a while that Greg was worshiping you.
Yeah, somebody did a truth or dare with Greg one time, and then the truth was, who is your favorite man crush? And he said Cliff Carey.
Yeah.
So apparently a
picture
of me.
When I was looking at that video ahead of time, Chanel said, is that Cliff? I said, I think it is, but they kind of looked like alike, but I couldn't quite tell. And then I went to see Greg. I said, when I went into his office, say, was Cliff in that video? When I looked there, your picture was no longer there.
Good. That's very awkward.
And what was great about it was this. Greg said, I only put it up there for the video. Now you go in there, it's a totally different picture. It's a good one. Okay. So his man crush is over, Cliff.
Thank you.
By the way, that also tells you something about staff. If you can enjoy one another and laugh with each other, you're going to get along well. If your life's all about the work and the ministry and church and all this stuff, you're sick. Hey, do you enjoy life? Do you enjoy Christ? So I'm not saying there aren't some difficult decisions and topics we discuss. I'm not saying sometimes we aren't weeping. We are. But I'm saying also our staff knows how to love and enjoy one another, and that's good. I literally enjoy coming to Sunrise on Mondays to work.
Amen.
You know that? I enjoy that. I enjoy our staff. We have a good team. And I appreciate that. So that's good. One more, is that enough?
It's probably enough. One more? Okay.
Tetelestai.
Someone just says, clarify what the word abide means.
The Greek word is meno. And it has the idea of abiding, resting, being at home with. Let me illustrate it this way. How many of you, and the older generation will know this more than the younger generation, how many of you have had living rooms with plastic on the furniture? It's almost had a tape across the doorway that said, caution, don't enter. It's called the living room, but no one ever went in there. No one ever sat in there. Once a week, somebody went in there to dust it, and then they vacuumed their prints, so you never saw any prints on the carpet. That's the opposite of abiding. Now, abiding is you get in that chair, you know, it's kind of sunk down, and you're at home, you're resting, you're at peace with where you are. You know, Ephesians, Paul talks in Ephesians about being at home with Christ so that Christ may be at home in your heart. Christ is at home in our hearts when we're at home with Him. Are you living with Christ well? Are you at home with Jesus? Can you just settle in with Christ? Can you look forward to seeing Christ and listening to Christ and watching Christ today in your life? Can you yoke up with Christ? the word abiding has all those concepts. It's being at home with Jesus. And when you are, my friend, you're blessed. You're blessed. Father, I thank you for this morning. And I thank you as we review 2014 and look at some of the great things that you've done here. As we've celebrated our 40th anniversary. And then, Lord, as we look forward to next year, I thank you that we celebrate a number of new staff people. Well, Lord, a few years ago we were looking at, we knew a number of these changes were coming, and our elders and personnel commission were praying and seeking out God's direction and will. And now we look back and say, here's 5 or 6 or 7 different new people that God's brought on staff. And with our whole staff, Lord, there's about 15 or 20 different people that you've brought on staff over these last 2 years. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing. And I thank you, Lord, that you desire us to be renewed day by day on the inside. And though our outward man is perishing, though each of us is getting older, yet there's something being created, renewed on the inside that only you can do. So today we acknowledge that we love you. We desire to serve you. But most of all, Lord, because we love you, we want to obey you. And in obeying you, Lord, we're at home with you. We're at peace with you. And as a result, we're receiving your joy. And because of that joy within our hearts, we freely and joyously, joyfully share the gospel of Christ with others. We challenge others to become more like Christ. We equip others to use their gifts for Christ. And as a body, we look forward to you continually renewing us, not just today, but day by day throughout this next year, so that if you give us another year, we can look back at 2015 and say, look at what God is doing. Here's new people serving Christ. Here's people using their gifts. And maybe you're sitting there right now and you're saying, Lord, I can see you using my gifts in ways I've never used them before, because I'm going to become used by you because I'm obeying the Lord Jesus Christ out of love. Father, bless us to this end. Thank you for 2014. We anticipate 2015 with your grace and love, in Jesus' name. And all God's people would say, amen. Have a great day serving Christ. See you next Sunday, the first Sunday of 2015.